Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. I've preached about Jairus several times, and we're going to, but this is definitely an encounter with the Lord Jesus. This is encounter number 12, but Jairus, the desperate father. The narrative through here is one that's exciting. Jesus comes and crosses the Sea of Galilee through a great storm. And to all the disciples, they'd never faced anything quite like this storm. It was a great storm of wind. They thought they were all going to drown. And you know the story. Jesus simply stood up in the midst of the storm, said, "Peace, be still," and the storm ceased. And asked them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith?" He told them they was going to the other side, and they were going to get there. We'll face storms in this life, and all those that are saved, we're going to get there. Amen. I promise you, we're going to get there. We're going to arrive one day. We may have to face some scary things along the way, but we'll get there. Beginning in chapter 5, we have a man, and really there was two if we look at both accounts, but Mark really hones in on the one that probably did the speaking. That were demonically possessed with legions, the Bible says, and thousands of demons they were possessed. And you know the story. They went into the swine, ran down to the bank, and drowned in the sea. And when the townspeople come out and they saw the one that was called Legion sitting clothed in his right mind, the Bible says they were afraid. And it's kind of like the world today. There's somebody dressed halfway decent and modest. The world, they're like, "Man, I'm kind of worried about them people. Fearful of those people. A bunch of weirdos." But anyway, they didn't want Jesus there. They didn't know what was going to befall them. And we find in this account two things. There is a woman that has an issue of blood for 12 years. But the start of the story deals with a little girl who was 12 years of age that had been sick and was at the point of death. And so that's where we're going to start tonight, verse 21. The Bible says, "When Jesus was passed over again by the ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, 'My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and shall live.'" I'm going to skip down, and we'll cover this other portion as well. But the Bible says that Jesus is ending. You'll find in verse 34, he's in his discussion with a woman that had an issue of blood. He said, "Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague." And while he yet spake, so he's speaking to this woman, he's saying, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague." While he is saying that to her, somebody is speaking to Jairus at the same time from his house that told him, "Thy daughter is dead." So Jesus is saying this, "Woman, go in peace. You've been made whole." But he hears from one side that Jairus has just received the news that his daughter is dead. "Why troublest the master any further?" And Jesus heard the word that was spoken, and he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." Our Father, we thank you for the Bible and this time to preach tonight. I pray, God, that the word of God would encourage all of us here. And Lord, we all need those personal encounters. They're life-changing. But God, we see Jesus in the midst of this world amongst people with problems, people that were desperate, people that were confused, and people that was hurting, people that were angry. Any situation we can possibly think upon, Jesus encountered those. And God, there's not a situation that we can encounter in this life that Jesus doesn't understand. He has experienced what it is to be in this physical body. He has been tested. He's been tempted. Lord, he knows what sorrow is. He knows what anger is. He knows what hurt is. Help us tonight to remember we have a sympathetic Savior who's mighty. And God, help us to trust in him regardless of the outcomes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story I'd read some time back about a young family, husband and wife, and they had a little daughter. The mother had cancer and had passed away, and the little girl was fairly young. And after the funeral and everything settled down, they was home alone. She asked her dad if he would sleep in the bedroom with her. Said she was just scared and just needed that comfort. And so they were laying there in the dark, and she asked him, said, "Daddy, it's really dark. Do you care to hold my hand?" And so he reached over and held the little girl's hand. And during the process of the night, he dozed off, and I guess he let loose of her hand, and she woke up panicked and started hollering, "Daddy, are you there?" And he told her, he said, "Darling, I'm here. I know it's dark and you can't feel me, but I want you to know that I'm here." And, you know, lots of times with God, we go through periods of our life that it gets dark. And there's times that we feel the very presence of God in a very real way. But there's also times we go through those difficult times that it seems like we can't feel God. That doesn't mean that He's not there. He's still there. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And we live in a culture today, everything's about feeling and it's about experience. And so that's the reason why worship services in many churches have turned into something where they try to draw upon the emotions every way possible. But the truth, our God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And He doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. I'm thankful for a God like that. And we see this in this passage tonight. There was a father who was desperate. Now, I'll not hit this really hard because I'm going to come to some things and say some things about it at the end. But the Bible says, "There cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue." Now, realize, and you study the Bible, that Jesus' antagonists were those that were people just like this. Rulers of synagogues, Pharisees, scribes, people who were religious leaders, people who were religious authorities. In my mind, the Bible doesn't say it, but I want to tell you, I wonder if Jesus had showed up 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks prior to this, would Jairus been so interested in seeing the Lord Jesus? I wonder if he'd had conversations, he'd heard stories about him with people saying he's claiming to be a prophet, but he is a false Messiah. He's a false teacher. He's leading the people astray. He doesn't observe our traditions. I bet Jairus was in many conversations, and if he'd heard anything about Jesus from his peers, most likely that information would not have been something positive. In fact, for him to align himself with Christ would have probably meant perhaps the end of his career or his position that he held. So we find that Jairus in this situation was a father. He really wasn't concerned about what his friends thought. He wasn't really concerned about what his peers thought. When his daughter got to the place of death, he sought out the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us in verse 22 that he come and he fell at his feet. You see his humility here. He comes and he falls at Jesus' feet. He doesn't care what people think. But not only see his humility, you see his anguish because he besought him greatly. The Bible says on his knees, beseeching him great. I can't imagine but anything but tears streaming down his face. And he looked at him and says, "Listen, my little daughter lieth at the point of death." Now, many of you may not understand that, but if you've ever experienced that, being with someone at that very point, the threshold of death, you understand what we're talking about. Well, my mom was sick for days. I remember my dad was pretty bad sick at the time. And being stubborn, he didn't want to go to the Somerset Hospital. He wanted to go to Monticello. And so he was in the Monticello Hospital, and I went down to see him. I felt bad for a couple of days. I hadn't been down there, and she seemed to be doing pretty decent. And I got down there on the way back, and I think Jill called me. Brother Larry Buck called me, and he told me, "I just been in the room. Your mom has just moments." And I was resigned to the fact that when I got there, she would be gone. But I mean, I drove as hard as I could. I parked. I rushed in and got there and was able to speak a few words to her. I've been with other people when they have crossed over. They've left this life unto glory. And you've been there with the gasping breath. You see their eyes roll back. They're like a fish out of water. I want to tell you what I think. I think Jairus' daughter was at this point when Jesus arrived. There was no time to waste. There would be no hesitation. Everything went perfectly. Jesus might arrive on time. And even then, was he able? Was he going to be able in such dire circumstances? But Jairus didn't care. He's a desperate father. The Bible tells us in verse 25 through 34 that there's a Savior who's delayed. Now, we know the story. There's a woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. She's a desperate woman herself. We see it in verse 25. 12 years. She had suffered many things in many positions. She found every doctor. She'd researched. She'd traveled, perhaps, and found as many people as she could. She was a diseased woman. She spent everything she had. She had got nothing better, the Bible says. The only thing that she experienced was she got worse. But she was a determined woman, because just as Jairus, she hears that Jesus is nearby. In spite of the crowd, she presses through and she says, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole." That is some remarkable faith and some determination to get there. And you see that she was delivered. The moment she touched him, the Bible tells us that straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now, the Bible says in verse 30, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, here's what I want you to see. There was not only a father who was desperate, not only there was a Savior who was delayed here, and we see that, there was a daughter who was dying at this very moment. She's in this moment dying while Jesus stops. He's on his way there. The crowd's before him. People are pushing and touching from every direction. But suddenly he stops and says, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched me?" And his disciples, I believe this, if they look at Jairus, they see his face, they see his desperation. You see that they're a little bit antsy as well, because they respond and said, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, why sayest, who touched me?" I believe the reason they said that was because they didn't have time to waste. They had to get there. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus finished up having a conversation with this lady and this woman. He says, "Daughter, thy faith made thee whole." And before he could get those words out, Jairus was receiving a realization that was devastating. We see that. It was a realization that was devastating. What did he hear? "Thy daughter is dead." As Jesus is talking to this woman, he had been delayed. He says, "Thy daughter is dead." We see that. And have you ever, and maybe you have, you've experienced that phone call that someone called you to let you know that somebody had passed. Something happened. Maybe it was unexpected. Maybe it was expected. But it's never a good phone call. Your day can be going great, and suddenly you get those news, and it's terrible. It changes. A sickness hits your stomach. Have you ever had to deliver the news to somebody? I've had to deliver it to fathers and mothers that their children had died. Never a fun thing. Never a fun thing to sit down with someone and explain to them that their child had, or they, it may even been an adult child, had passed suddenly to an elder parent. That is, you can just see the instant agony. I remember going to visit my great-grandfather in the nursing home. And I went often, so it wasn't anything necessarily new, but when he looked at me coming in, they were just joy. "Here comes Grant." But the difference was this time Brother Price was with me. And the difference was this time as we went in and was talking, and he's like, "Well, you all running around together." He thought we were just doing our thing, I guess, as preachers. And I said, "Papa, I have to tell you, Bud just died." And I see that man whose mind was not sharp as it used to be from the inside just almost die instantly. And said, "My boy is gone." It's awful. I know when that news comes, the anguish that comes in that very moment. I couldn't imagine what it would be for a child. I pray I never have that. But I've seen people has got those calls. I've went with people and talked to people about the news. I've had people call me up. We need to deliver this news about the report. I need to tell this one what was found on these scans. Will you go with me? I never enjoy those moments. This was one of those moments. As Jesus' attention was focused on telling this woman she'd been made whole, Jairus is getting some devastating news, a realization that was totally devastating to his life. But notice what Jesus does without it, not even any hesitation. Jesus says, "Woman, thy faith has made thee whole." Immediately looks at Jairus and says to him, "Jairus, be not afraid, only believe." Before Jairus could break down and to even begin to cry as he was crushed on the inside, he said, "Be not afraid, only believe." That word "only believe" means to keep believing, keep trusting, keep relying upon me. Don't stop now. You come to me knowing that this might cost you your career, knowing that you may lose some friends over this. Don't stop trusting me right now. Keep on believing. So he had the decision to make at that point. Is he going to trust the Lord? Or is he going to give way to fear? Give way to the emotions of the inside and say there's no use? There's two important truths here that I think that we need to see tonight in this encounter. Number one, it wasn't until fear was his motivation that Jairus gave a consideration to who the Lord Jesus really was. Think about that. It wasn't until fear was his motivation that he gave a consideration about Christ. Now, he probably heard the stories. Maybe he gave in, "No, Messiah should do this. The Messiah should set up a kingdom. He should have done, got his armies together and overthrown Rome." Maybe all these things. But you see, when his daughter got to that point, suddenly his perspective changed. What if this is truly the Messiah? What if this is truly the Son of God? And he had nothing to lose, so he went to him out of desperation. You see, Jairus gave a consideration at that point. And not only that, you'll find that Jairus came without any hesitation to Christ. And it wasn't until fear was his motivation that he came without any hesitation. It wasn't until fear was his motivation that Jairus acted in humble desperation before Christ. He throws himself at his feet and begins to beg. It wasn't until the circumstances were extremely dark. You see, it was desperation and it was pain in his life that was the instrument that stripped away his hindrances from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, sometimes it takes pain, suffering, hurt, and desperation to strip away anything that would hinder us from seeking who Jesus really is. Here's the second important truth I believe you need to see tonight, is this. Number two, it wasn't until his fear become a reality that his faith was put to the test. You see, it could have been just wanting his daughter well. But it wasn't until his fear become a reality that his faith was really put to the test. Was this thing genuine? And Now think about this. It wasn't that his fear becomes a reality that his faith becomes genuine. You see, at that point everybody looks and they can see, is this thing real or is it not? You see, it's easy to claim to be a Christian. It's easy to claim to trust the Lord. It's easy to claim to believe on the Lord. But the truth is, the test of that is when we're in these moments, when we get these sorts of information or news that comes to our life that devastates us, is our faith really a reality? Is that the reason we really come to Christ? It wasn't until his fear became a reality that his faith was demonstrated. How did he demonstrate? Because at this point Jesus says, "Be not afraid, only believe." You keep trusting. And you know what? He followed Jesus, Peter, James, and John, the inner circle in, and people were weeping. And he said, this girl is not dead, she sleeps. And people laughed him to scorn. Now, I want to say, you know the rest of the story. And I'm not going to focus on that so much. But it's during these times will we continue to follow the Lord and obey the Lord that we find out if our motivation was more in fear and desperation, but was instead faith and consolation in who Jesus Christ really said that He is. Now, when your fear becomes reality, let me tell you something. I'll ask you a question. When your fear becomes reality, will you keep believing? You say, what do you mean by that? Well, let me just break it down. When it's dark in your life and it's confusing and nothing makes sense and you're scared to death and terrified, will you keep trusting in the Lord during those hours? Will you keep believing? Will you keep trusting? Even though you may not be able to feel Him just like that little girl couldn't feel her father, will you keep trusting Him in those moments and knowing that He's there regardless what your emotions say? Will you keep following Him? Will you keep believing? Will you keep trusting? When you get the news that your loved one is not going to get well, are you going to keep believing and keep trusting at that point? When you get the news that's devastating, a terrible diagnosis, will you keep believing? Will you keep trusting? I've seen people that love the Lord. I watched my father-in-law, and he was about my age when he died, and I still yet am just mesmerized by the faith he had in a 3-month span of dying with liver cancer. It's hard to explain. But you see, his faith wasn't just motivated by fear. His faith was a reality. And it wasn't about the outcome. It was about who Jesus Christ is. Now I want to say to you, that's the problem with today. Everybody wants to know they're going to have a positive outcome. And if I really trust the Lord, shouldn't everything turn out fine? I know I'll go through hardship, but shouldn't I be delivered? Shouldn't I get well? Should my loved ones be healed? Shouldn't my marriage be fixed? Should my children all do right and quit living the way they're living and doing the things that they're doing? That's what people expect. But guess what? Many times they don't. Many times people don't get well, and many times people die. Will you keep believing during those moments? I think that's a message that's overlooked within this thing, this passage tonight, when you have been there. You see, the story we know has a happy ending. We know that. Jesus went in, He spoke, the little girl rose, and she lived. But what if your story doesn't have a happy ending? Will you obey the Lord and be not afraid and only believe? Will you keep believing when your fear goes past motivation and when your fear turns out to be a reality? Will you keep believing? Jairus did. Jairus did before he knew that his daughter would live again. We don't know what the ending of our story might be, but I promise you this. You can safely and confidently trust Him come what may. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Help us to remember this important truth. We live in a world that thinks if we're to be victorious Christians that we'll always get well and we'll always overcome and we'll always find victory in this life. But the truth is, our victory is not in this world. Sometimes we have victory. But God, one day we're all going to die. One day if we live long enough, all our loved ones are going to die. So it's not about death. It's not about outcome in this life. It's about the promise and who Jesus Christ is. And if we continue to trust and believe in Him, I promise you everything we know in Your Word, everything that He has said to us, He will do. And Lord, that's our confidence today. I'm saved because of what Jesus Christ did. I have a home in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. I know that one day my loved ones will get up out of the grave because Your Son is coming again. Lord, this world, they think it understands what victory is, but if they're Christian, they really don't know what victory is. But one day, not only will our fear become reality, but one day our faith will become sight. And God, that is our hope. And we thank you for the promises. We thank you for your precious Son. He is glorious. We ask that you would move tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.